Welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Bill Newell, along with the MSO team. Plus, we'll be talking with a couple of navigators from Swampscott. You see that all up on the post anyways. But welcome to our program. Rick Moore is here. Marty Smith is here. Tim Kearns is here. So let's go around and have everybody say hello, and we'll begin with you, Rick.
Good morning. No, it's not good morning, is it? Yes, yes. Well, we're trying to get this going on Zoom. Bill, we're not going to tell people how long it took us to get this thing organized.
Well, it did take a while. It took quite a while. Marty, hello. Welcome. Long time.
It's been a while, and you can blame me for most of the delay.
Well, Tim Kearns was not right on time either, but other than that, that's fine.
No, but I'm not responsible for any of the delay.
Oh, that's familiar. Okay. Responsible. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
I take beatings for enough things around here. I'm not taking this one.
Okay. All righty.
So let's get this right. If I show up 19 minutes late and another guy shows up 20 minutes late, I'm not at all at fault then if I'm 19 minutes late.
That's right. That's true.
Got it. Okay. That's fine.
That's logical.
Yeah, all right.
That's logical.
So the folks listening to this tonight on North Shore Sports Night are just completely baffled by all of this. So, hey, let me ask you guys this. I am not watching these old sporting events on TV. I'm sorry. I'm not watching them. There's enough other stuff going on in the world. I got to keep up to date on the virus like the rest of you guys. But anybody watching the old sports on TV? Tim, you're nodding your head. Yes?
A few minutes. It's only if it involves the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, and the Celtics. I can't watch any of the other sports teams. I don't really care. And even then, I haven't watched a complete game of any of the locals that have been replayed. So it was interesting. One the other night, I was watching the first game of the World Series in 2004. And two stations away was Game 7 of the Yankee series just before it. So it's like, you know, you could run back and forth between the two, watching how the Red Sox got to Game 1 and then watch Game 1 at the same time. But, no, I've been, you know, selectively tuning in for a few minutes here and there and then going back to PBS.
Yeah, I could see how you would be confused by that. Yeah. Marty?
We're wearing out the Netflix button on our remote here. The only time I've really heard anything has been getting into the car and the radio would be on to one of the two sports channels and they're running some random basketball game from 23 years ago and I'm trying to figure out what game it is or some non-local football playoff game. That's the same kind of thing. You start thinking about when was this, who are these guys, and why should I be paying attention to this game? So I changed the station.
Rick?
No.
Okay, that explains it.
You know, this is the guy that carries the ball every Monday night, and that's what he's got so far for us here.
No, I haven't. You guys, I haven't watched or listened to a sporting event since probably March 13th. I don't listen to the radio anymore. You know what? Once a month, I'll check it, and it's like watching those soap operas at Christmas time. If you tune in on December 1 on a soap opera, it's the first night of the Christmas party. And if you tune in on December 23, it's that same night of the Christmas party. And that's what I'm hearing on sports radio. And I, honest to goodness, I haven't even looked at any of our sports stations. That's not to say I'm not missing sports, because I really am.
I did have a little challenge.
Anybody else's wife hooked on Hallmark Channel?
No.
No.
Oh, God. Hallmark Channel. Every Friday night, it's a Christmas movie.
It's the same Christmas story with the same actors, just in a different town.
Oh, I see them on, I just go to meet them. You want to know how it ends? They walk out of the room, you can't do it.
Aren't some of them in jail? Those Christmas movie actresses?
They should all be in jail. Maybe they should do one from jail. That would be interesting.
We watched a few of those in December, and because my wife was watched a couple of them, and so I said, you know, I'm going to watch a couple of these to see what this is all about, because I saw, I think Saturday Night Live did a bit on those. So anyway, so I'm watching them, and the whole thing is, Tim, you can speak to this, I'm sure now, is that the guy comes back into town or the girl comes back into town. and either his mother or her mother or an aunt is running a Christmas pageant. This is the theme on all of them. They're all running a Christmas pageant, and they all go to the pageant, and then they fall in love, finally, at the end of the Christmas pageant. And it's like, it's, they, well, at least three of them have that. I swear. Then I don't know.
Well, the ones I've seen, it's the same setup, except someone's come back to save a business. It's, so instead of a Christmas pageant, it's saving the business instead of saving the Christmas pageant.
But they do fall in love. Well, they don't save the Christmas pageant. They work together on the Christmas pageant.
Oh, okay.
It's not
okay.
like they save the Christmas pageant because the mother
or the very creative writing.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Yeah. But I guess that's what they call a formula. Like what we're doing here is a winning formula for local Monday night sports shows. What we're doing right now.
I think this is missing a chemical additive or two.
Well, you know, the thing about those shows is you've got like four main actresses, and I just keep telling me, and I go, my God, these girls, they sleep with everybody. You know, how many people have they been in love with? Every time you turn around, there's somebody else. No? Floozies, that's what they are. That's what they should nickname the floozies.
So let me ask the boys a question. I'll ask you one also. We'll start with you, Bill. What are you missing most about sports right now?
Well, I guess, you know, when I talk to Andy Carbone every week with our Red Sox, our baseball insider, he always has the Stratomatic results from the night before. Interesting. Red Sox had a good week last week, kind of crept back into the American League East race. But I don't know. I guess I miss the just the idea that, you know, you're following the team from day to day. You know, I'm not saying that in recent years I've watched hours and hours of, you know, every night a baseball game. Because in our household, we have one TV now, and we don't have two TVs, so we have to kind of share that a little bit. But I think I just missed the day-to-day of the Red Sox. I will say this, though. This looked like a pretty bleak 2020 Red Sox season coming up, so I don't think I'm missing it as much as I might normally be missing it.
Marty, what are you missing the most?
I've started missing baseball for real within the past couple of days. We'd had some tentative trips booked, and they were just sort of out in the future, and that's okay, and those are gone. League baseball highlights on the sports over this weekend, I started getting that little whimpering feeling like, I miss this. Hmm. And certainly New Hampshire would already be playing, would be looking at the opening of the Lowell Spinners season and what could very easily be their last season. And I'd already picked out some games to do that, and the Navigators are coming up. Their season would be opening soon. The weather hasn't really been warm enough to say, I want to go to baseball. But then you get a couple of days like we've had where it's in the high 60s, low 70s. You're sitting home and you're saying, this would be a great night to be sitting in a ballpark.
Well, when it was snowing the other morning, I was thinking this would be a great day to go skiing. If it were January, Tim, what are you missing the most?
I've just been, you know, so big into soccer over the last few years, getting up on weekend mornings, going down, grabbing my coffee, and watching a couple of Premier League matches. And, buddy, I did catch some about a half inning of Korean baseball the other night, and that put me to sleep. The idea of nobody in the stands, and it's like you have to go yourself. Just to animate, it's really bizarre watching professional sports and having nobody in the stand, nobody even booing, you know, not even that. But I do miss the Premier League. I've really been into it the past half dozen years or so. I don't know. It's bad as some people want to call it. It's a lot more honest than I think a lot of the American sports that we see with the. The oversized personalities that have to put themselves front and center instead of the team. So,
you know, I got to tell people we're doing this conference call on Zoom. And Tim, you look like you're playing a piano. I find that very very entertaining while you're talking. Because
you're
Ray Charles down sort of left to right, and looks like you're looking at the keyboard creating, and
I would have to look at the keyboard because I couldn't remember where the keys are anyways.
Yeah, well, me too. You know, and Bill, before I turn it back to you, I'm missing most of the security blanket of sports, meaning sometimes in the evening, you know, if my wife goes to bed early, I'll go into the office and I'll put a sporting event on. Hopefully it's a local one, Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, whatever. It's a security blanket. And then same thing in the daytime, I'll go on online. I'll look at NBC, NBC Sports Boston, or I'll look at the Bruins app or the Patriots app or the Red Sox app or Channel 5 or whatever, the Boston Globe, to get the updates on sports. And it, to me, that's a security blanket of a normal lifestyle. And I'm missing that big time.
It's the background. Baseball on the radio is kind of like the background to summer, and like the, and would be into the Stanley Cup now, would be into the NBA championships. I miss that. And yesterday I grab the Sunday newspaper, I read it online, and I get to the top of the sports page, and the sports section is the page numbers are 1 to 32. They go, holy moly, this is like 10-year-old flashback to when the Globe had a Sunday sports section that was a pretty good size. And then I realized the 20 pages of its death notices.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the Salem News nowadays, and Marty, you may get it. It's so distressing. There are days when it's just one section, and mm-hmm. the inside is all but one page are death notices.
Yep.
And it's like, my God. And not all of them say COVID related, but looking at the ages of a lot of the people, you can pretty much assume that it's somewhere along the line had an influence on their passing, because you're looking at, you know, maybe half a page on a normal circumstance, and now you're looking at five and a half pages of death notices. And for those that are walking around without face masks and endangering other people, they really need to wake up and take a look at the paper and see how many people around them are dying, you know, and what it could mean to them and to their family members, as well as to other people around them that they don't know that they're walking near or breathing in their space. It's about time a lot of them woke up.
Well, you know, I still think let me add to what Rick was saying, is that I guess one of the things that I would be missing right about now is springtime is following and hoping that the Celtics can advance into the playoffs as well as the Bruins, and wondering whether that would be the case. And we were, you know, and you, really when you get to these pro seasons, when it all shut down in March, you really don't know where things stand with these teams, because that final month of the regular season is pretty important to see what trajectory the teams are on. And Tim, just for our listeners, the fact that you're still watching the soccer from Great Britain or Ireland or wherever it is, I mean, it's I think the folks are saying, oh my gosh, the COVID-19 has really impacted this guy. But no, you, like you said, you were doing it before, so you know, it is troubling. It is troubling, you know.
See, Marty, he just found a way to slip that kidney punch in there. Jeez.
Well, you can look at it this way. It's sports with breakfast. So it opens up your day for a full day of activities.
I had 7:30 in the morning. And in 2 hours, it's over. Two hours, it's over. They play 90 minutes in that 2 hours, concluding the halftime.
Zero,
the game wrap-up.
Yeah.
0-0.
No, Bill. It's, yeah.
Nil-nil. Time.
You got to report the score. Report it correctly.
2 hours that seems like 2 hours that seem like six. Okay, that's fine.
Hey, it's better than 2 hours seeming like six, and 6 hours seeming like 12.
Well, I want to just mention, Bill, I'm going to have to leave here in a second, but I want to mention we're continuing our series with Class of 2020 athletes, and thank you to the athletic directors who've been so great to set this up and get a hold of the kids. Mostly we've been talking with captains. We've got several interviews coming up this week. I had to postpone today's, but we'll get PBD on, and we've got Masconomet coming up, and we've got Amesbury coming up this week with their captains. And these kids have been an absolute delight to talk to. They've had their spring taken away from them. They've had their graduation rights taken away from them, and yet they remain optimistic, and they remain ever so cool. So congratulations again to the Class of 2020. We're going to do this until these kids have graduated, and maybe even beyond that.
Hey, Rick, before you go, I was going through some old stuff, and I came across a 2009 Aganis All-Star Dinner Award actually it's the Aganis program, and it has the list of media award winners, and the Dave Wiedner Media Award winner. You guys all there? Oh, there it is. Okay. You see who that is?
Mike Grenier.
Mike Grenier. We've been talking to Mike a lot lately.
Yeah.
About the Celtics and local sports. And I was caught that, and I got a chuckle out of it. The one year that I still have, is the one with Mike in it. So I wanted to pop that back up there for us.
Hmm. Well, what am I trying to say here? I don't really know what I'm trying to say here. But
Did you have a clue?
I was just mentioning the class of 2020, Bill.
Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, so we'll have a bunch of those athletes on, and we've done a few schools, but we got a bunch more of them in the pipeline, and so on as schools try to figure out what to do to honor their athletes as well as honor the non-athletes as you would normally do at a regular as graduation dates would be approaching here in the next several weeks. Anything else, Marty? Let me ask Marty and Tim. Have you guys gone anywhere? I mean, we're pretty much all kind of pretty local. For me, this to me is like, you know, you haven't ventured out of state. You've barely ventured out of your region. You know, in the last 6 weeks or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've not been out of Essex County.
Go ahead, Marty.
And this is not to make light of this, but we had an older relative of a relative passed about a week and a half ago. And the only time that we've actually left Beverly was to go to a almost like a drive-through memorial service. And so that tells you how close you are to home and the kind of things that you have the priority for you have to go. It was very moving to do it, but it was odd at the same time.
Yeah, a couple of last Thursday, I had mentioned to meet him a few days before. I said, you ought to just take a surprise drive to New Hampshire to see our best friends who we haven't seen since January. Park the truck at the end of their driveway, pull out the folding chairs, sit down, and then yell at them from the end of the driveway. So on Thursday early afternoon, we did that. And Marty, I was just talking to you yesterday, and I told you my buddy's wife came outside and did the cutest little happy dance I have ever seen a five-year-old do. She was so happy to see my wife, who's her best friend, who she hadn't seen, but they've been communicating, of course, through text and cards. And so we had a, you know, social distance gathering for about an hour and a half, and we tooled back across the border.
Across
the border? You didn't get stopped by the border police?
No, you know, I was wondering if that was going to happen, either going in or coming back, but it didn't. I saw this thing that if you fly into England, you have to quarantine for 14 days.
You're supposed to do that when you go to New Hampshire.
You're supposed to do it when you come to Massachusetts, too. Same thing. Yeah.
Well, that's if you're from out of state. But imagine I'm going to go to England for the weekend. Okay, but you better plan on a 15-day trip.
You think?
Well, we're trying to figure out how to get our daughter home from Philadelphia to go to her grandmother's funeral, and because of all the rules, we don't know. We have no idea how that's going to work. She's planning on driving, which will get you into Massachusetts, but then she's got to go back to work in Philadelphia, and I just don't know how that's going to work. If the Border Patrol is going to stop them in, you know, Connecticut or in New Jersey or New York, I don't know how that works.
Fly United. They're flying full planes.
Well, there's nobody. There are no flights from Philly to Boston right now.
Couldn't believe I saw that story. United, full point of people, no empty seats.
And they were all
so
healthcare
much for
people.
Social distancing. Were they really?
That's what we think. That's
maybe the wrong White. Maybe the wrong White House staff.
Well, I wonder how long we can keep Tim Kearns quarantined, even in the months ahead. I mean, I think there's a way of making this happen somehow or other. You know what I'm saying? That we should be able to keep him quarantined. I think watching this soccer every weekend morning is enough to set off another 14 days. You know what I mean?
Maybe we could make the train gate at the end of his street be locked down.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
You know, he can go out the back way now. Yeah, so whatever. Yeah. All right, I say that what we do is we'll step aside here. We've got Dylan January and Nick Reiser coming up from the Navigators and a lot more here on North Shore Sports Night. Any other final comments from you, gentlemen?
I'm good. I just want to thank everybody for dropping by tonight. And as usual, you know, be safe, be patient, and do the right thing.
I want to thank Ben Goodhue. If he's still listening at this point, man, you're the best, Ben Goodhue.
Persistent.
Yeah. Marty?
Nice to see you all.
Yeah,
nice to see you all.
Yeah, we're looking at each other for the first time, and yeah, for a long time. Timothy?
What happened to the beard, Bill?
Oh, I haven't had that for like 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks, yeah.
I saw the picture on the Salem News with you and the Salem Newsboys, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I let it go for a couple of days.
When the Jerry Rubin thing there. I think we're all looking forward to seeing seeing sports come back on all different levels. High school sports is a big gap for certainly all of us, and you know the guys that work with us at the Salem News and everybody else that we talk to, and that certainly is a big part of everybody, parents, grandparents, family members, beyond the athletes themselves. And I think so everybody would like to see, especially high school sports, come back, but that's not going to happen until next fall, so we're going to have to be patient.
Hey, I have a story. Go ahead, Marty. Go ahead, Marty.
Work 6 feet apart. We'll have to find a way to work 6 feet apart.
Yeah, we need some longer cords for our broadcast, right? I think that's our biggest problem. Google longer cords. Yeah, that's what we're going to need, I think. Yeah. But, hey, I got a story for you guys. Here's our last story. I think I don't know if I've told this before on the website or not, but so I don't want to embarrass this person but they're not listening. I know that. But this is an older person, not a, you know, a relative, let's call it a relative of my wife's, calls up a week ago saying she was watching the Kentucky Derby. And that she was pretty excited about the race and so on. And my wife goes, yeah, that's funny. I didn't really think they were having the Kentucky Derby, you know, this year and so on. And so anyway, she's picked her horse and she's all excited and how it, you know, that the Derby was going to be run. A great television, Saturday afternoon, May 3rd, whatever, May 2nd, I guess it was. And so I come into the room and I kind of catch the very end of it and the phone hangs up and I go, you know, there's no Kentucky Derby. You know, they canceled it months ago. And but my wife said, let's not tell that person. Let's just let them enjoy thinking that they had the Kentucky Derby. They were watching it live, the 2020 Kentucky Derby. I think they were running the 2015 Derby, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was the one that they were talking about. But I guess you can kind of get him, you know. If you're not too clued in, you can kind of maybe enjoy what's going on the TV. You know, maybe we're just too cynical. You know, it's not that I remember it all. I don't. You know, it could be good. So, gentlemen, always good seeing you, talking with you, and we'll talk again soon.
Take care,
Marty Smith, Tim Kearns, Rick Moore. Connections, North Shore Sports Night continues right after this.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore. This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gary Larrabee is joining us. Gary is a golf writer, golf historian, writes for the Salem News, used to be a full-time sports writer for the Salem News for so many years, and always on North Shore Sports Night talking golf. And Gary, welcome. Thanks for joining us here on Connections.
Always great to be with you, Bill.
Gary, wanted to focus here on the business of golf, if you will, with the governor announcing last week that golf courses could reopen. And they did reopen. Some reopened right away. Others are reopening as we speak, I imagine. But the golfers were out there this past weekend at many golf courses. So tell us what this means for the golf courses, and what did the last couple of months mean for the golf courses?
Well, thankfully this happened, this pandemic. There's no reason to be thankful for it, but the fact that it happened over the winter was a big blessing for the golf industry, obviously. The golf industry in Massachusetts, Bill, is a billion-dollar-plus industry. And granted, we only have a 6 or 7 month season, but thankfully, the industry wasn't hurt too much because normally golf courses wouldn't be open till sometime in April anyways. Although this past winter, we had a very good winter, so a lot of the courses, virtually all the municipal public courses and many of the private courses would have opened, and some of them did open for a very short period in early March because of the mild winter, before the pandemic hit hard and hit Massachusetts hard. So there was considerable revenue lost until the governor opened up golf last week. The most noteworthy aspect of this bill is the fact that this was the first economy, if you will, in Massachusetts that had been limited or shut down before this to be reopened by the governor. And it's great news all around for golf, even though there are a great number of restrictions, guidelines, if you will, by which these golf courses, public and private, can open. There's no clubhouses are open. The pro shops are not open. Everything is done by phone, online, very limitations as to how they can play the game on the golf course. But the bottom line is golf is back in business, and it's a good thing. Imagine, Bill, if this pandemic hadn't hit America and hadn't hit Massachusetts until June or July. You'll see you later to the golf season from that point forward. And even though, Bill, now I'm a little concerned as to how it's going to evolve. The reports over the weekend were not good for numbers in Massachusetts, and some very, very questionable reports from other states where there is golf. Now, there's a lot of concern about a second wave of this pandemic hitting a lot of the states, particular states where everyone's got golf. So I think it's really still hold your breath, be grateful the golf courses are open, and hopefully golfers will adhere to all the guidelines, and we could be in some more serious trouble with this COVID-19 down the road.
Gary, I think that you're right, and I wonder whether a couple of things usually the golf industry, I liken it kind of to the restaurant business or the ski industry. The ski industry, if you don't have snow, you don't make any money, and you lose lots of money. And you're right about the golf being closed in March and April, or April and not being the end of the world kind of a deal. But if numbers don't come back, I would imagine that is a problem, because there's a thing of margins. Like, restaurants really need to be full to make money, and that's how they did it in the past. And golf courses, volume, volume, volume for the most part, right?
No question. And it's really, like I said, it's wait and see, and there are lots of concerns that this COVID-19 is not going to go away quickly. It's going to go away very slowly, which will certainly have a negative impact on the golf industry throughout the season. And there's still no guarantees that all these big championships, they were hoping that would be played both locally, regionally, and nationally, and even internationally, will be played. Of course, there's no open championship over in Great Britain this year. But we are anxious and hopeful that the other three majors will be played here in the United States later in the season. But Bill, I'm still holding my breath and keeping my fingers crossed. And my brother's a head golf professional up in New Hampshire at Eastman Golf Links, and they opened for business today per the governor's directive from a week and a half ago. But boy, it's going to be careful. It's going to be slow, and all the numbers are going to be down this year. And all the private country clubs and the clubhouse business, guest business. And, of course, a big part of the income at all clubs, whether they're public or private, municipal or whatever, are the golf cart revenue. And right now, golf carts are being limited and restricted only because of a governor's edict from late last week based on the American Disabilities Act. There will be some availability of golf carts only for those people who have proper documentation with them as they come to the golf course, because of their physical or medical condition to be able to use a golf cart. Only one person per golf cart, which would be helpful in the revenue stream, but still it's going to be a slow go, and I think it's just a question of how all these businesses, and the golf is a business, whether it's country, club, private, whatever, it's going to be a challenge for these businesses to manage financially during the year, and we'll see how it goes. But it's 1 week at a time, and just keeping our fingers crossed.
Gary, do you think? By the way, did you go out golfing yet so far this year?
I have not, though. I've become a fair weather golfer in my golden years. I'm not even interested in. I'd like to chip around my backyard and whatnot. I may hit golf balls, but I don't play till June, anyways. And I'll just hold my breath and hopefully get out there sometime in June. And but let's see how things go, and hopefully we won't be getting any reports that there's been some COVID-19 outbreaks among staff or whatnot at any of the golf courses, public or private.
And no, exactly. You are right. The other thing about, you have your greens fees, which, as you noted, would be collected online now, so they don't have to make physical contact. And you mentioned the golf cart piece, so that was news to me, because I knew they had banned golf carts initially on the reopening of the golf courses. But then it's that 19th hole that I keep talking about with folks. I mean, that has to be one of the money makers for golf courses as well, and the pro shop, and that's not open. And so those are revenue sources that they do kind of count on.
Oh, major revenue source. Let's face it, golf is such a beloved sport, and it's dealt with by such rabid personalities. People just love the game, who are involved with the game, and of course, the sociability aspect of golf is huge. And of course, that's not being allowed during these current conditions because of the COVID-19 situation. You can't do a lot of back slapping on the golf course. You can't do a lot of horseplay and you got to stay away from each other when golf is very sociable before you tee it up and during your 9 or 18 holes and afterwards in particular, wherever you go to have a drink or have dinner or whatnot. And that sociability aspect is a major player in revenue, and that's not even being allowed right now unless you go to someone's private home.
Gary, is there any news that you have on any of the local golf courses on their reopening or not reopening? Because I know Gannon Golf Course in Lynn, the word came out Thursday, and they were open Thursday. You know what I'm saying? I think that was the day, right? Yeah, Thursday was the day, yeah. So they opened right away. Other golf courses, you know, are waiting, I think, until today or over the weekend and so on.
Well, golf courses are in fantastic condition, not because of the lack of play, but in part because of the lack of play. But golfers are never going to find their golf courses in better condition for early mid-May to start off. Beyond that, we have a new head golf professional at Tedesco, and Jake Leach, who succeeded his boss, Bob Green, who was at Tedesco for 41 years, longest-serving head golf professional at a private club in the history of the North Shore. So Jake's gotten off to a rough start without too much early season business. The other thing you just made reference to, Bill, the pro shop business.
Yeah.
All the golf courses have pro shops, whether they have a little shack or a big, large showroom, if you will, for some of the private country clubs who like to have a big pro shop, lots of merchandise. And that's been a big hurt on the club pro level. Club pros make a lot of their money from instruction and from what they sell in their pro shops for the most part. And that's being lost on a daily basis. And we've had some great weather. As you know, the last week's been the best weather of the spring. It looks like it's going to continue for somewhat this week. So that's a big factor too. You know, everything is all about money. Still, we have to talk about the money factor, and we're holding our breath. I keep using that term, but really, we've never been down this road before, and hopefully, we'll never be down it again. But I'm afraid this is going to be a real rough year for the golf industry, for every industry that's going to get back up and running, hopefully, before too long. But it's just the way of life for all of us who was listening to our conversation here. We're all affected, and we just have to keep going one day at a time, a very slow go.
I think, too, as all businesses look to reopen, you know, things such as golf or entertainment pieces or things like that, people will want to have to come back to them. And I think, to me, that people are going to be a little bit cautious, certainly for moving forward in the next several weeks. People are cautious. And the other thing, too, maybe over the weekend for numbers, you did have Mother's Day. Once in a while, a golfer will even not golf on a Mother's Day just for that. I mean, it's hard. I'm not saying that all golfers ignore playing golf on Mother's Day, but some might. You know what I'm saying, Gary?
No, many do. And golfers still know that the women in their lives oftentimes dictate how much golf they can play during a given golf season. They want to take care of mums and mothers-in-law and grandmothers and daughters who may be mothers and whatnot. So it's a very important day.
Hey.
And that's it. That's just the nature of the beast. But the bottom line continues to be, Bill, that I think you're right. It's going to be a very slow return to the game. Going to be a very slow return to every industry, and so many people want to get back to work, and there's enormously large unemployment rates, and you know, the airline business is going to be almost disappearing over the next few months. And a lot of us had trips we had planned for spring, summer, fall, or I'm even worried about a trip we hope to take to Europe next May after this May's trip to Europe was canceled because of all the mess. So we're in more uncharted territory, Bill, and a long road ahead, a long, difficult road ahead in all respects. The idea is that don't get COVID-19, play by the rules, and we'll all be better off.
Hey, Gary, I have to ask you one last thing, and then I'll let you go. This golf competition that involves Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Tiger Woods, and Phil Mickelson. They had a video the other day. It was pretty entertaining, actually, with the four of them. What's your take? What do you know about that? When is that going to take place?
I believe it's later this month. It's at a Florida golf course. The name of that course escapes me, but there's going to be another very interesting match, I believe, sometime later this month at the famous Seminole Club, golf club in Florida, involving four of the biggest names on the PGA Tour. And, of course, these are both going to be raising lots of money for COVID-19-related initiatives to help people who are being dealing with this COVID-19, either economically or medically. Keep an eye out on your sports sections and your TV listings. It'll be our first chance to watch some live golf this year. I mean, well, I should say this year since March. And, of course, I think everyone's still keeping their fingers crossed that we'll start to watch some live golf again in June. Right now, the PGA Tour hopes to get going again the second or third week of June in Fort Worth, Texas, and that would include Rob Oppenheim, Salem-born Andover bred, who will be playing that week if they're back in action. But there's still a lot of questions, Bill, as to when all the pro tours will get back in action and whether we'll see some live golf sooner rather than later.
All right, Gary, always great information with you, and so thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here on Connections.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Gary Larrabee, golf writer, golf historian, and also writes a column in the still writes the column in the Salem News.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight on North Shore Sports Night, along with Rick Moore, Tim Kearns, Marty Smith, Gary Larrabee, and, of course, Nick Reiser and Dylan January from the North Shore Navigators. I'm Bill Newell. Again, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week ahead, and hopefully the regular North Shore Sports Night will be returning next Monday night at 7 o'clock. Have a great week, everybody.